it's Herbert. And you're listening to the About Last Night podcast, you slippery little son of a bitch.
Hey, I want to spend the next hour talking about...
This is an hour.
My publicist told me 8 minutes.
Wow. All right.
Have you... most of the things you were doing press-wise during the pandemic were little snippets, right? Is that good? Do you get into a flow to where you're like, all right, that's my sweet spot? You know what I'm saying? Like a Ryan and Kelly or a...
I prefer this. I mean, I'm obviously, both of us are grateful to have those opportunities, but... I don't know. I haven't been on Ryan and Kelly.
You're not. So if that was your way of
throwing
shade.
It was.
Threat received.
Oh, you don't. But you don't have a conversation. Like, you have a conversation here.
Yeah.
You know. Or I think we'll have a conversation. We'll see.
Who knows what's going to happen, dude? You came
in
real.
Do you have a camera on you?
Do I have a camera on me? This was just a solo. We'll just use my audio. Boy, we have 5 cams on you and just my audio.
So I do have a question.
Please.
So I thought you were.
Great to see you, by the way.
Good to see you.
Yeah. Oh, okay. We took it down to a good. So, and that was not intentional, but says everything about our friendship.
I thought you got married, but you're
engaged.
You're engaged.
So one step away.
So when did you get engaged?
July.
Oh, of this year?
No. Wait. Yes. What month is it right now?
September.
So the last July. COVID July.
July 2020.
Isn't it crazy? I truly am blending, like, time.
So you've been engaged for almost a year and a half.
Yeah, we're getting... Okay. By the way, I have friends that were engaged, like, 7, 8
years. No, I just have questions.
Please, fire away.
Because I love weddings.
Do you really?
I love weddings.
Do you want to go?
Sure.
I'm dead serious, by the way.
But I love weddings.
It's my dad, by the way, but he still calls me from his wife, my stepmom, who passed away during COVID, and I get calls from,
I'm so sorry.
So he still has her phone because his all sometimes craps out. So he'll call me from both, and he just called from hers. I'll be honest, it took me a couple of days to go.
Yeah.
No, I thought I saw her pass away.
Adam,
who was that?
Your stepmom.
Okay.
Wait, right. So how...
And my stepdad calling right after. All right, we're on...
Wait, how long...
And then hold up a Celsius. Hey, yeah. You got a parent that's one step away.
Wait, so how... well, 2 questions.
Yes.
When did she pass?
In May of COVID.
Oh, I'm so
sorry. Cancer, yeah, it was crazy. Hospice. Never been on hospice before.
Oh, that's really hard.
Or been around it. Still haven't been on it, but haven't been around it. Can I tell you a real quick joke,
please,
though? Because, you know, in comedy, I think you can probably attest to this.
Oh, yeah.
You...
I don't even know what you're going to say, and I said, oh, yeah.
We're recording, right? I just want to make sure we're going, because this is just... Nope. You know, this is all... We're going to...
This is not gold.
How many times has that happened, by the way, where you've done something, and at the end the guy goes, all right, well, we should probably hit record and start doing this? You know what I'm saying? It's almost like you finish all your food at the restaurant, and they go, how was it? And you go, terrible.
Yeah, or you're in a workout and they go, that's a good warm-up. And you're like, I can't feel my body.
That's a good warm-up. Who does that? Tony Robbins?
Tony Robbins.
You know who that is.
Yeah, but he's not an exercise guy.
Yeah, but he's a pushier buttons guy.
Yeah, he's a Magnolia Pictures Tom Cruise guy, right?
Tony Robbins?
I'm thinking
of Tony Robbins, the... You don't...
Oh, who
there's something inside yourself that you need to dig deep.
Yeah.
The documentary, the conferences,
the conventions. Yeah, that's like what Tom Cruise played in Magnolia on that...
I still haven't seen
remember
that.
Yeah, do you know what I'm talking about?
Yes.
He had that ponytail.
Oh,
yeah. Anyways, but about your stepmom.
So she... the joke was, my buddy goes, hits me up, and I go, sorry, my stepmom's on hospice. Can I hit you back? He goes...
So hard.
10 minutes later, he goes, dude, I feel like such a dick. I thought you said she's on Hospice. I thought that was a new dating app. And I go, going into the act. But no, also.
First of all, why would I be telling you that my stepmom's on a dating app?
Yeah. Hilarious. Yeah. Yeah, right. But no, she passed during COVID. But so I went up there for about a month to be with my dad, just to be supportive and be around there.
How's he doing?
better now.
Yeah.
It's crazy. Like, time does heal. And we wanted to move him up to Seattle right away. I don't know if you've dealt with an elder relative parent, but it's, you know, I was really the only kid, aside from my brothers and sister, that could do work remotely, VO, self-tapes, podcasts, also during COVID, and just get away to be up there. So I was kind of taking the reins with another brother. But time heals, man. He's better.
He
misses her. How do you not?
Of course.
And he's 77?
I think it is an interesting question that I even asked, that people ask, like, after somebody passes, and they go, how are they? No one should be great.
Right.
Like, if somebody passes, should be mourning.
Totally.
Like, you should be really hard.
Do you almost feel offended if somebody asks? I just did that with a friend. I go, how you doing? And he texted back, fine. And then I was like, why did I even?
Yeah.
It's just such a normal, but you also don't want to just go, I assume you're shitty.
Yeah.
So I don't know what the move is. Just don't text?
No, maybe just like, I'm here for you.
Yeah, that's what it is. Anything you need. There was that great Curb episode. Remember when people go to Larry? If I can do, or no, he said anything I can, what was it? Did they say?
I haven't even seen it, but I have a feeling.
If there's anything I can do for you.
And they ask him to do something.
And then he would call him out for it and go, actually, or no, he would do that. And then people kept calling him out because he had like to do he had to write something for somebody's book.
Yeah.
Is what it was.
Yeah.
A birthday book. And she goes, and make it funny, make it funny. And then something, he got bad press for tripping Shaq. In the Lakers game.
Yeah.
And it was all over the news. So all of a sudden, all these commitments, everyone pulled out. So she comes up, she's like, we actually don't need you for the birthday book. And he goes, it's the best thing that's ever happened to me. Amazing.
That's good. Okay. So back to the wedding.
So got engaged, did a whole thing up in Seattle with my nieces and folks.
I forgot you're from Seattle.
Yeah. Had a little, again, don't like the tone in which that came out.
Oh, wow. There's a lot of sensitivity to tone. I have no tone.
I'm joking with you. No. You have no tone. If you were a rapper, or I have no tone into Tony, there's some sort of a connection here.
You know, what's also cool is I'm toe knee and I'm knee toe. Let's I do that with kids.
All right, so we're going to wrap this up quick here. That was,
we can trademark that if you want.
Proposed.
Wait, so when is the wedding?
April 9th. I guess I don't know if I've said
Are
it
you
before.
Doing like a barn wedding? Or are you doing like, what is the, what's
so
the.
So I'm Jewish.
Okay. So Jews hate barns?
That's a great rumor to start, and I will be texting all the rabbis in the area. A barn wedding. It's gonna be outside. AZ in April.
Okay,
is you know, the weather's conducive to an outdoor thing.
Wait, so you're in? Oh, I see. Wait, what? Wait, where are
outdoor,
you?
Outdoor in Arizona.
It is outdoor.
AZ. Yeah.
Okay. Oh. Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, you're not doing Seattle?
No.
Got it.
Wanted, you know, a handful of Seattle people, they'll make the trip. L.A.
Because she's from Arizona.
Yes. And I just love Arizona.
Yeah.
I truly do. And I don't know why. I just kind of, and I think I drove the ship on picking that. But now we're in the nitty gritty of struggling to find a florist. Even with invitations, we just saw, or on a website, I think, for the Save the Date, there's a thing where there's a picture, I think, on the backdrop, and we liked that site for an example. Mm. And then we just saw there's a picture of a couple. His eyes were closed. They were holding hands. Her eyes were closed. He was kissing her forehead. And I go, we should do one like that, but our eyes are just wide looking at each other like that. And she's got a great sense of humor.
Yeah,
it's one of the best things about her.
Aww.
And that's the only good thing about her. And she...
she's not listening.
That was a joke. She is. She loves you. She loves me. She loves you more. And
it's good. Mission accomplished.
But we go, will people get that joke? Or will they be like, how many people go, that was weird? And then we have to go, well, there was a picture we saw. And they go, can we see that? And you go, I don't have it. You know what? Enjoy the wedding. You know what I'm saying? I want to be silly, but there's.
I know. Well, I will say, when it comes to flowers.
We're struggling to find someone.
Okay.
Is this where you pitch your florist business?
Well, I'm so glad you asked. Flowers by Tony.
Oh, my God.
Well, here's the thing. Florists are extremely gifted, but if you're tight on a budget, you know, because weddings can be expensive. I think you can, if there is a friend of yours who is gifted in flowers, like nowadays, I would think floor arrangements don't have to be, well, no, because florists across the country are going to murder me for this. But many times it's just like there's a bouquet of them and it's a single flower.
Yes.
With something red,
I'm okay with that.
And somebody who is, gifted in that, and maybe wants to gift you that, they could, there's like all the flower markets and all that kind of stuff. Because there's a lot of simplicity to flowers.
Yes.
That, you know, anyways.
No,
and not that it's not it is a gift.
Yeah.
And people are but it can be very expensive.
Where do you find the things to cut corner? Like what did you and your wife like make a priority?
Photography.
Gotcha. Yeah, that's where I kind of went almost. I think we got somebody, but I was always like thinking like maybe we get somebody else, like another. I think they have a team, but.
That's the thing that, I mean, granted, obviously everything is important, but that's where the memories are. Did you hear about those situations where the photography, something didn't work out?
Oh, my sister's. So Joey McIntyre from New Kids on the Block is a buddy of ours from the Heat.
Yeah.
I got him to come up to sing at my sister's wedding.
Yeah.
The photographer or videographer got like 10 seconds of it.
Oh.
And then she just gave my sister a big zip drive being like, I think there's a bunch of stuff on there if you want to cut something up yourself. Anyway.
Oh, yeah. She forgot to push a record.
Or just was like, her whole thing was like snippets. So she's like, oh, and just to make the highlight video. And it's like, no. You were supposed to just kind of, anyway. So that's one thing I want to make sure to get covered is somebody that captures a lot of it. But not all the nitty. Yeah. You don't need you don't need 5 hours of the getting ready stuff, do you?
I don't think so. But as somebody who, you know, the power of radio and film and TV and all that kind of stuff, you don't want to have to worry about it.
Right.
You know, like you don't want the sound.
You don't have to worry about anything.
You want people to be able to hear you
and
have really good footage.
Yeah. Do you ever go back and watch your video?
No. But I do look at the photo album a lot.
You do?
Yes.
Are you more of a photo versus video guy?
Yeah. For my wedding, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, but also we didn't really even have back. This was because we've been married 18 years.
Congrats.
So thank you. But it was like video. It wasn't like, you know how now they're really produced. That wasn't a really big thing back there. It was mainly really good photos.
Yeah, 18 years ago. That's about 2003.
Yeah, 2003. Well done with the math.
Usually, I'll be honest, terrible. That was like a gimme. That was a lob. Like that was a simple, I could do that. But if it was like, if I had to take it behind the 2000s and get into the 90s.
Yeah, it would have been over.
I'm lost. What was your best subject in high school? Take me back. Kind of a student were you? I didn't say it was a great interviewer.
No, you are. This is why I love podcasts. I like it.
I always make it back though. And you are and I'll go ahead and say this.
But I'll give you the grace to say you don't have to make it back.
Thank you.
You can just enjoy the ride.
Do you enjoy a good tangent?
Oh yeah. That's how my mind thinks.
Me too.
And I apologize for it a lot, but then people don't really need you to apologize. They kind of enjoy tangents, I think.
Quick tangent from the student thing, and I'm going to get back to it.
Yeah, sure. You don't have to.
I'm not going to get back to it.
Okay.
How much, because I know in most shows and films that you've done, and now it's probably not expected, but anticipated that you're bringing insane comedy chops.
Hmm. But here's a tangent. I feel like a squeaky dog toy next to you when you speak.
Why?
Your voice is so resonant and deep.
I'm sorry.
And mine just sounds literally like something you buy at a pet store.
Again, are you trying to pitch a pet store with Tony Hale, dog toy?
I'm just listening to your voice going, I don't even want to speak. But go ahead.
Dude, sorry, Academy Award winner, Tony Hale.
That's right. That's right.
Dude.
No, go ahead. Sorry.
So back to the student thing. The student thing, no, but then I would ask, when you're getting hired for stuff now, and by the way, so many things, even in the last 2 years, but even prior to that, Work City, you're the mayor of Work City. Mm. How much when you come in are people like, because I'm finding this now in just the last couple years with a few things that like, hey, we can tell you improvise in that. Also, maybe, or if they even have seen something else, they know the comedy part, so they want that.
Hmm.
How much is that happening versus not, where they're like, we're going to do what's scripted, but always bring whatever Tony Hale has, bring it when we, or.
Yeah, I think.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does make sense because, I mean, you hear a lot that statement, make it your own.
Yes.
You know, make it your own. And it's like, all right.
Sometimes it feels lazy.
It does, but you just don't know what to do with that. Do you want me to? I don't know what sometimes that means.
Right.
So I think I just, if I'm answering your question correctly, they kind of, it's like they give me a coloring book and then I color it in a way that fits what I'm bringing to the table.
Gotcha.
You know, so it's just to kind of add, and if they like those colors, then great. And if they don't, then I don't get the part.
Right. Do you like auditioning?
I do.
Yeah.
I do. I used to be, get really nervous, and then I realized that that's the only time that I can do something completely that I want to do with that material. Mm. Because once, you know, if I don't get it, if I don't get it, then I'll never do that. And if I do get it, it's going to be the director's vision of whatever that material is. So that's the only space I have to make it what I want to do.
What a great way to look at it. When did that shift happen?
I don't know, but I started to kind of look at it a little more as like a playground rather than as, oh, this kind of, I brought a lot of, I still do to an extent, but I used to bring a lot of anxiety to the table. And then it's just like, all right, well, let's just kind of look at it as like, this is playtime.
Yeah. And that's a great way to calm the nerves for it. And then also this is going to be, I'm going to have fun with this and make this my take on it, and if they dig it, cool, then I know that I'm onto something. If not, then that was...
Yeah, and you can, I mean, one thing I also appreciate is, like, I used to say there was a character, and I had an idea of what I think that character was going to be, mm-hmm. and I would just be playing an idea, like, for instance, say it's like, I don't know, like a head of a company, right?
Yeah.
So I have an idea of what I think a head of a company looks like. If I'm just playing an idea of what I think a head of a company looks like, there are so many other people that can play that idea better or whatever than I can. But if I bring out those characteristics of that character, meaning leadership, he's motivational, he knows how to whatever, whatever. If I bring that out of myself, like how I motivate people, how I encourage people, how I, you know, lead meetings, if I, how Tony Hale would do that, then I realize nobody else can do that. So I might not get the part, but that I put out on the table something that nobody else can because I brought it out of myself rather than like an idea of what I think that character is. Does that make sense?
Yes, 1,000%.
Yeah.
Hey guys, Adam Ray here for the About Last Night podcast. Hope you're enjoying the episode. Guess what? There's big news from my favorite home security company. Nope, it's not my dog Pickles. It's SimpliSafe. They just launched their new wireless outdoor security camera. That's right, SimpliSafe, the system that U.S. News and World Report names best home security system of 2021, just got even better. This brand new outdoor security camera is engineered with all the advanced tech and security features that you want and need to help keep you and your family safe. Look, I have not had anything for quite some time because I have just, I guess, felt invincible. Didn't think it was necessary, but it is. My sister turned me on to SimpliSafe and was like, these guys fucking rule. She curses a lot. They have an ultra-wide 140-degree field of view, so you can keep watch over your entire yard, which is huge. If you have a yard, you're a baller, and you need to keep it safe. It also has a 1080p HD resolution, which is the highest, with an 8x zoom. That means you can zoom in and clearly see things like faces, license plates, wieners, to capture the critical evidence. It has a built-in spotlight, this is dope, with color night vision, so you can keep an eye on what's going on day and night. I know we get some shady Postmates people that come through sometimes super baked, eat my soup, need to see them at night. Well, you can do that with this super simple setup, just takes minutes. And it has an easy-to-remove rechargeable battery, which is always huge, so it doesn't need an outlet and can go anywhere on your property. This camera has it all, and it integrates with your SimpliSafe home security system, extending its protection to the outside. Did I tell you I can't read? Well, I can read that SimpliSafe means together, every door, window, and room are protected, and now your property will be too. To learn more about the exciting new SimpliSafe wireless outdoor security camera, visit simplisafe.com/about. What's more, SimpliSafe is celebrating this new camera by offering 20% off your entire new system and your first month of monitoring service free. Did you hear that? Your first month of monitoring service for free when you enroll in interactive monitoring. That's a tough word to say. Again, that's simplisafe.com/about. SimpliSafe, SimpliSafe.com/about.
Eat Wheaties.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, man. I texted you after or DM'd you.
You did, which was very kind.
Man, it was awesome. And Aww. That was, you know, again, I'm curious, first of all, how you felt about how it turned out, mm-hmm. because it was one of the best movies I've seen in a long time.
That's so nice.
I love, that's my favorite type of movie.
Mm.
Like the slice of life feels very grounded, but very funny and like heartwarming, kind of sad, like just a story. And also, I guess, first and foremost, a story that I just go, I feel like I've never seen this. Mm. That's a very cool feeling. And I feel like it doesn't happen all the time where you go, this is the only of this that I feel like I've seen. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that's very encouraging.
Yeah.
My buddy Scott Abramovich directed it, and it was based on a book called The Locklear Letters about this guy who was obsessed with Heather Locklear and all this kind of stuff. And he adapted it. And I just really, I like the idea that my character, wait a second. I just forgot
his name.
Forgot the name of
Let
my character.
Let me look it up.
I think it's like, not Sal.
Sal, Sammy.
No, but I forgot the name of my character.
It's okay. I can look it up.
Yeah, look up, I've got Scott, the director, just going to be like,
No, here we go. Here we go. Your character's name. Do you have any guesses?
Is it an S? Is it just an S?
Two S's. Boy, would you like something inside of that can, Tony, to drink it maybe with?
Would you like something in that can?
That's the last name. That's the last name.
Oh, that's the last name.
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know.
Sid Straw. Yeah. Great name. Made up name or is that based on?
I was thinking like Sass?
Close.
Sid Straw.
Yeah.
Sid.
Great
yes.
name for a guy that has a... would you say obsessive compulsion?
Yeah. And also it knew nothing. What I really, really resonated with was I love that he had no idea about technology. He was not familiar at all with social media.
Yeah.
And he just got swallowed and started making, the whole story is that he has to go on Facebook because he's helping plan his college reunion. And he finds out Elizabeth Banks, or not finds out, he remembers Elizabeth Banks went to his college.
Yes.
And he starts sending her messages on Facebook saying, but he doesn't realize they're public because he doesn't know about Facebook. And then he becomes kind of a joke.
Again, brilliant. And again, there's so many relatable elements there with the reunion. Even people that don't go, like the idea or a social gathering that's family, planning it, knowing all the stresses that come with that. And then having this person who's kind of at the helm of it and the Facebook thing. It's like so many people... I think there's probably more untech savvy people than tech savvy that would make a mistake like that and have it be completely unbeknownst to them.
Tangent. Do you feel like there's a lot of talk about how damaging social media is?
Yeah.
And yet no one is making the step to get off social media.
1,000%.
So it's like
post about that.
We all know how toxic it is.
Oh, yeah.
Very toxic, actually, and it's causing depression. It's all this kind of stuff. But somehow nobody is moving the needle, pushing the needle to, like, get off it.
And I don't think – because
I think it's an addiction. I think there's
– 1,000%.
Yeah.
I know I just now started paying attention to my – like the time, how much I'm on it. And I know what it does to me when I know what I'm – if I'm on it for, let's say, late night, my fiance and I are looking at cooking videos on TikTok.
Come on now.
Pants optional. And we are, you know, like that to me is a fun use of it at that time.
Yeah.
Closing it down, like whatever, like truly just giggling, looking at stuff, whatever. But like during the day, you know, looking at things that from comrades that can make you go, you know, which I still subscribe to and try to always adhere to this mentality that isn't a bad thing to get. If you can spin your jealousy or whatever into fuel for the fire for your own shit, I think that's healthy. Mm. But you just have to be able to be able to recognize that and get off it if you're like, all right, I'm getting actually too, this is a buddy of mine and I'm whatever's happening here, put that down or just flip the switch and
I think it's safe to say most people don't have that awareness though.
1,000%.
I think it's safe to say that people genuinely I've fallen into this trap included, you just go into this kind of Alice in Wonderland spiral where you're just looking at all this kind of stuff and subconsciously you're not even aware how you're almost becoming, you're looking into somebody else's life
for a second.
Yeah.
You could see one person post something about Joe Biden and good or bad, and you just assume so much in that moment off that one thing.
Yeah.
And then you move on to the next thing, and that's
And then you start creating all these different narratives. And somebody said, I thought this was a really good point, that the phone has become our center. So it's like when you're, I mean, here it's sitting on the table. When I'm standing somewhere, I'll pull it out. Like it, rather than stand, it has become like just out of, I'm on the, go to the bathroom, pull out the phone. Like it just becomes our center.
Yeah.
You know, which is really scary.
It is scary because also, I mean, there's always the, everything's getting tracked, paid attention to. I mean, I remember talking very stonily one night about Celine Dion somehow.
Yeah.
As you do, get a little high, you start going, am I going to get to see her live again at some point?
I don't know, dreams.
I've seen her live once, and I've said many times, fucking phenomenal.
Oh, I'm sure. And does she sing all those songs?
All of them. And guess what? Here's the best part, and not to regurgitate it, but she does like stand up in between songs. She's just been doing, she's been performing so long. She's like, I know I got, that's the way it is. My heart will go on, hit after hit in my back pocket whenever I want. So I'm going to riff a little and make up songs about my band. I'm going to wear a yellow dress and call myself Celine Dijon. I'm going to laugh like I just saw Chappelle.
Let me say this, though. Would you say that those were pretty, those are the same jokes she uses every night?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't think she's,
because I think she probably has a writer. Queen. I think she has a writer.
Oh, so you think there was a guy backstage being like,
yeah. Oh, totally. Oh, I bet she's got a Hacks writer. Have you seen Hacks with?
I was on it.
You were?
Yeah.
I've only seen that. Wait, which episode were you on?
Episode 8.
Oh, I haven't gone that far. Don't tell me.
It's a turning point in the season. It's a great app. I'll tell you this much. You get recognized and acclaimed for everything you do. This is probably the most in the last, I don't know, man, since my guest star on According to Jim, the season premiere in 2007, from my mom and the rest of Temple Beth Om, that was, but
no, I've seen up to the episode where the guy she met.
Totally.
Which was a,
it's not a spoiler at this point. That show's been out.
Okay.
It's the most popular show,
that
I think, at the time.
That was a really I love shocking that turn. Yeah.
Well, this one's even crazier.
It broke my heart, actually.
Me too. This is a big turn and a great episode. It's really great. And
I mean, I love Jean Smart. I think that, I forgot that girl's name.
Hannah Einbinder.
Yeah, she's great.
Amazing. Jean is a god. I mean, and so cool.
She played my mom on Veep.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Oh, so you know what's up.
And she's just the coolest. I
mean, isn't she?
Yeah, she really is the coolest.
Why are we still so just like, we have, we're not saying that to, you know, squash rumors, but I don't know. It's just, maybe there's been too many people that are that good that haven't been cool that we have to go out of our way to be like, she's the best? Or is it just to kind of?
I think it's the longer we're in the business, I think there is sometimes a surprise element where you're like, oh, wow, that's.
You put them up on a pedestal, right? So the fact that they're like asking you about
you. Because you hear a lot of stories that are the opposite.
Oh, yeah.
You know, like I remember when I met Henry Winkler on Arrested, and I was very nervous because this is my first show, and I was, you know, I just didn't know what the whole business was going to do and how would I turn into like an asshole, all this kind of stuff. And he is just the most gracious,
the best,
kind, give. And I was like, okay, so you can have that long of a career and still be other
centered. Do that many things
kind of,
where you're at the top.
Yeah.
He was on the pod about maybe 5 months ago. Oh. And his son Max was in my fraternity at USC.
Oh,
and he became like a mentor to me during school.
Hit me up
whatever you need. Whenever you need something, Adam Ray, call me. And then I'd call him and he'd go, Adam Ray, make it quick, because I'd start rambling. I like don't know what I'm doing. I'm like, there's this agent that I think wants to sign me. Like, do they love Adam Ray? Do they need Adam Ray? I don't know. They didn't call me back. Fuck them. I was like, all right, all the best. And then just click. But I told him that I go, when we first met Henry, I go, do you remember this? He goes, probably not. Go ahead. And I go, you walked into the fraternity, APY, the Jewish frat at USC, and you walked in. It was like a weekend and you had a bag of laundry and you go, excuse me. You go, you look like a kind man. And I go, I think I'm pretty cool, you know, depending on who you ask, but I feel like I'm a pretty nice guy. He goes, great. I have my son Max's laundry. I go, love Max. He goes, we all do. I have this bag of clothes for him. Can you make sure it gets to him okay? I go, I got it. Oh, guard of my life. He pulls it back. He goes, nothing's going to happen to these clothes, are they? I go, what? He goes, is anyone going to shit on the clothes? I go, did the Fonz just ask me if someone's going to defecate on his son's laundry? He goes, yes. And I go, Henry, you have my word. No poop will make its way in or around this bag on Max's clothes, shirts or pants. And he goes, great. And he goes, I thought you'd say that. I go, cool. And that, so I told him that story. He goes, I'm hilarious. That sounds all about right. He goes, I really said that? He goes, well, you know, hey, people have too, there's too much shit getting on. I mean, dude, just home run hitter, you know?
He is. He always walk around on camera and take pictures and then hand you the
pictures? Yeah. That's a very cool move.
That's so sweet.
Yeah, Gene Smart is one of those people that you go, again, lengthy career, done it all.
Yeah.
Well, I'm pumped for you to see the episode. It's
I know.
Yeah, you're also – so my point being, like, it was the most I've gotten people hitting me up that I haven't talked to in years, or people just even biz-wise or not biz-wise that were like – just because they watch a show because it was a thing to watch. But
excited. I like the idea a lot.
It's a cool story with the stand-up backdrop.
Yeah, and the humanity of it.
Yeah.
I'm just thinking, because that's on my mind, that one episode about with that guy she met.
Oh, dude, I can't wait for you to see the next.
The friends that she comes to Vegas and are snarky. There is a part of me that I'm like, do people really act like that?
1,000%.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Dude, I'm going through it now with some homies. That's crazy.
Wait, like, so someone come to be like, hey, just like
a little
that.
More passive than that. Like people, like I have a friend right now that has ghosted me for the last, and we were so tight. And there's no explanation. I haven't done a what's going on because it's so crazy to me. And I'm just, it's almost like, is that going to be it?
Yeah. Is it something where you've kind of gauged a timeline and thought like, what are a guy or girl?
Girl. I can't even put my finger on it, honestly.
Yeah, that's right.
And then a mutual friend of ours was like, just how it is, blah, blah, blah. Like, you know, gets into her little hole of creativity and whatever. And I get that to an extent.
Sure, sure, sure.
But also like a lot of, like most of us, business and life is coming through this. So to not even do like a, man, it's been crazy or whatever is so bewildering to me, you know?
You also think like, so there's so much unknown trauma in people's life.
I know.
That
I give benefit of the doubt.
But right? I mean, I to not douchey behavior, like people should, you know, be honest about stuff, but especially in our business, like there's so much trauma that people have been through that we know nothing about.
Like
and I say that because the littlest thing can spark trauma.
Yes.
And then all of a sudden you're like, why are you so mean all of a sudden, you know?
Do you wake up on the right side of the bed usually?
I am a morning person. I'm not a night person.
Because of your kids?
Or
always
maybe.
Been that way?
I just love morning. Yeah. I love morning. My wife is not a morning person, and I would say my daughter's not a morning person, but I love it. I love it. It's just new and fresh, and I actually prefer them not getting up. So I can have that time.
Cool.
So if there's like a really early morning and everybody's up, I'm like, bum.
Well, I'll be sure to isolate that part, send it to you. To send in a virtual Mother's Day card / birthday.
Because I really enjoy that time.
That's, dude, but I 1,000, so, you know, being a comic, the night has become my, but it always has. I always enjoyed being up late. And
do you sleep in late?
No.
You don't?
So I've had for the last 6 years some VO stuff that has been early. And so I've always, 8 or 8:30. And then guess what? Every now and then I push things to the limit and then I'm like, I have to sleep. Last night, you know, I got in late and home maybe about like 12:30, went to sleep about maybe 2:30 after coming out from the airport and everything. And got up around 8:30. So like, but
do you sleep straight through or do you wake
up? No, mine's racing. I take melatonin gummies. For a while there, I was just trying to just smoke to go to bed, but I wake up groggy and go in and record Archibald. And then it was, that's a joke. I never did that. I swear to God.
But even if you did, you sounded great.
Thank you.
For those who didn't know, Adam did it great.
Archibald's next big thing is the best cartoon on television right now from the mind and life of Tony Hale.
The cool thing is Adam played Johnny Hawkstorm and you were great.
Thanks, man.
He was an action star.
It's on Peacock now, right?
It's on Peacock.
Yeah. Check it out. Peacock, Archibald's next big thing. For adults and kids.
For adults and kids. Wait, so when you're traveling, is that for a gig?
Yeah, for stand-up.
Uh-huh.
But this was for a podcast. Are you a football fan at all?
No. Well,
sports? Let's start there.
No. Okay.
Tony, when you were a kid.
Are we getting into trauma? You want to get trauma?
No sports?
You've
no
been
sports.
To, yeah. Well, I there was one time I was in, I swam and I was a swimmer.
Yikes. Does the story have an ending?
Oh, it's going to get drama. And then I'll never forget, I was swimming in a meet and I stopped in the middle of the meet and people were swimming around me. And then my dad goes, "What are you doing?" And I said, "I'm exhausted." And I said, "Why would I keep going?" I just stopped. Because I was like, "This mid-meet? I don't want to do this." Mid-meet. Because it was a pool for some reason that you stood up.
Like, only you up, and porn and stars like, have stopped like, mid-meet to not.
My God, I get that relation all the time. Wait, hold on.
Wait, so what happened then?
I just stood up and I was like, why? Because I'm exhausted.
That's so funny.
But it's just not in me. However, I like the social component.
Great.
Of being around watching a game.
Cool.
I think that's fun.
Super Bowl but
I would
parties.
Never, I would never watch it by myself.
Would you go to a game? You haven't been asked to throw out like first pitches or anything like that?
I have for Dodgers, and the announcer made fun of me.
Get the fuck out.
He goes, "Oh, that was a rough," or said something like, "That was a rough pitch." And I was like, he's right. It wasn't a great pitch. That also made me think, tangent. I went to the game, and my daughter at the time, who was probably seven, they sat us behind the dugout. And I was amazed that there was not a net. Because every time they hit the ball, I just would cover her face.
Yeah.
Because I was terrified the ball was going to hit. And now there's a net.
Yeah.
Because I'm sure that's happened a lot.
Oh, Tony. Yeah.
I know.
And it's been bad.
Yeah. And my little seven-year-old, I was so freaked out she was going to get hit.
Yeah, people probably still feel that way, even though the net's there, just because it's so jaunting. Jaunting or daunting?
Daunting.
Why did I want to say jaunting? COVID has made me go, there's a lot of words I didn't use for 365 days. Like daunting. You know? My brain saw daunting and jaunting, and it went,
I get it. I'll probably drive home and go, was it daunting? Maybe it's jaunting.
Was it Jaunte's peak?
It was Jaunte's peak.
Wait, your
but
routine.
I do like the social component of football a lot.
What was the last... So like a Super Bowl party this year, maybe.
Yeah. I think, not this year because I'm sure we didn't do it because of COVID.
No, I mean, this coming year.
Oh, this coming year.
Or World Series? No.
I don't think I have anything planned.
Gotcha.
I like the food. I like the environment. Yeah. I think it's fun.
Yeah.
But I'm also not a big crowds guy, so I don't really like.
Really?
I don't like arenas and stuff like that.
Because like social introvert or
It's just not. It's so much more comfortable at home.
Yeah,
I've
always been that way.
Like people who, which I think is great, people who go to arenas for concerts and sit in the, you know, can't even see the person on the stage. I don't get it. Like, why wouldn't you just sit at home and watch it on HBO?
I think there's similar to the way that you enjoy the social part of sports.
Yeah.
I think that's what I'm speaking for myself for concerts. Mm. Like just went to Guns N' Roses in Boston at Fenway Park, their baseball stadium. Never seen them before. Mm. Very cool. And being around the people that are diehard was a spectacle in and of itself. Mm. There was a woman with a shaved head and a Guns N' Roses tank top that did not fit with boobs the size of my head and someone else's head that's bigger than my head. She had two different boobs. Let me finish my story. Yeah, you got it. Yeah, two different size boobs, probably in between 60 and 80.
She's on the next episode of Botched.
Yep. And she, great show. Not to be outdone by Dr. Pimple Popper. You can't do it?
Oh, no.
Little queasy just thinking about
it? No, that's on YouTube, right?
Oh, that's on TLC.
Oh, I know there was a YouTube pimple guy who popped pimples.
Well, there's a doctor who's taken on people that walk in, they're like,
I've got a nick on my shoulder it's been there for about 25 years.
And you're like, holy shit. And she's like, she's so sweet. She just looks at him and goes, seriously, they'll walk in with like, there'll be something here, like a knee stuck on their chin. And she goes, what brings in here today?
And is it a pimple?
Dude, it's something. It's a growth. It's a pimple. They usually, you know, they do their, sorry, man.
But that must sound like that must just be like a volcanic eruption when it comes.
Sometimes
out.
It is, and sometimes.
God,
my mom watches these awful videos. I've looked over when we were sitting on the couch, just you know, watching some tube late night in Seattle, and I'll just like look over. And I'm like, "What are you doing?" Sometimes it's like animal videos, and she's just like watching this. And I'm like, "What are you so fixated on?" She's like, "Mom, just looking at." I'm like, "Now you got to show it to me because what the fuck? You're scrambling." And she's like, "It's these weird," and I'm just like, what do you watch? She's like, I don't know. It's interesting.
It's the pimple popper.
It's that. And then there's just, like you've said, the YouTube pimple guy. I think there's a lot.
There's a lot.
All the same.
Somebody's got a show.
Yeah, everyone's got Dude, if there's a pimple, there's a guy with a camera.
Do you know
looking
what I watch? Those YouTube videos of the guy. They're called Texas Bushmen, where they're hidden. You think they're bushes, and they jump out and scare people, and that's very entertaining.
I love that.
Yeah, or they're statues, and people think they're fake, and then they jump out and get them.
Quick bushes tangent. When I was a tour guide on the Universal Tram from 2003 to 2006,
I can totally see that.
Yeah, we had the video clips. It was early. Mm-hmm. I think it was not Jimmy Fallon Tonight Show yet, but something. And I would play a lot of clips, but sometimes you'd be stalled before going into an earthquake. Peak summertime, you're 5-6 trams deep. I'd do stand up because I was like 2 years in. So I was like, I'll work out bits or I'll make up stories or I'll drop a fake camera, turn on the Mission Impossible music, run out, just bits, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And, you know, people are just like, this is incredible.
Yeah.
But sometimes I would make up stuff if I had a, one time there was a Japanese tour, right?
Yeah.
So you had, 200 people on this thing.
Wow.
And the Japanese tour guide was done for the day. But they were like, well, they still have the subtitles and whatever. And they'll, you know, still understand English. So who wants to do it? I was like, I'll do it. And they were taking pictures of everything. So I had a drive with me and I was like, hey, as we come out of Jaws and we go up to Wisteria Lane to see all the desperate housewives and see where all the drama went down.
Mm-hmm.
There was a big line of hedge bushes. And I go, will you stop real quick? And he stops. And I go, guys, you don't want to miss this. The bushes from the film Bushes 1 and Bushes 2, Attack of the Bushes. You guys remember when Pacino was like, we got to get out of these bushes. And they all started taking pictures and it was... awesome.
I have a question about stand-up, because I have huge admiration for what you do.
Well, you should do it.
No. I have a question, though. If you, when you're working out a bit, and you're wondering if it works, right? And so you do it, and then it doesn't.
Mm-hmm.
Are there ever ones that you're like, I know this is going to work, and you keep doing it, and then it fails?
Oh, yeah.
But you just, it's like a nagging.
Totally.
And then you're like, I just have to let it go because it genuinely is maybe just not
totally
funny.
I try to use most of the things I take to the stage from, like, I said to my buddy, like, just most stories or lines, I try to go, if that made somebody laugh organically, like, live in the flesh, like, if there's something from this that happened and I pocket it, I go, okay, cool, I trust that was a real laugh, and I'm going to see if a group of strangers will feel that way.
Mm-hmm.
And even if it doesn't, I don't like to ever put it on the crowd because I always feel like, even if it's six people at 12:30 at the Comedy Store, they're there. They want to laugh, unless they are all just blackout drunk. Then that's different.
Yeah.
But I give a handful of attempts. Like I said this thing to a buddy of mine. He was like, are you going to do a Jewish wedding? I go, well, she's not Jewish. I go, but she is circumcised. And he laughed like that. And so I go, cool. And then I go, I'm going to take that to the stage. And then I did it in between some other kind of wedding stuff. And it didn't like really hit like I thought it would.
Yeah.
And then I did it two nights later and like did it right before like more Jewish wedding stuff.
Yeah.
And just that one line to kind of preface the whole thing got a way bigger laugh. So yeah, it is to answer your question, like, man.
You just don't
placement,
know the temperature.
Timing. Yeah. I mean, you shouldn't look, 5 times if that just isn't getting something.
Yeah. And I think I've got one of those. I think there's this one thing that I don't know why I go back to it, but it's like, I always say so I was in this meeting once and they were trying to show us all the material that they have worked on. And I said, oh, I can't wait to judge you. Like, I don't know, just something like, falls flat. Like,
funny.
I can't, not
Do you
funny,
do that a lot?
Not funny.
Do you do the straight face, like that type of joke?
Yeah, I can't.
I love that.
But I can't wait to judge you. Anyways, awkward, awkward, awkward. Okay, so then I was like, Tony, why do you keep doing it? Why do you keep saying that? So then I go back to my hometown. And this theater company is doing, these high school students are doing Grease. And I was there. And
for so, show. Wrote my college essay on it. Love it.
Keep going. Yeah, for sure.
Great show.
So then I go and the director goes, hey, guys, Tony's here. He's so excited to see it. And says, yes. And these are the high school students. I said, I can't wait to judge you.
Did it again.
Flat crickets.
Jesus.
So then I'm like.
No, not even one kid laughing at this silence?
I think there might have been one who might. But then I thought, Tony, these people are taking you literally.
Yeah.
You have to stop.
And even if you smile, like, they think you're an asshole.
I think you're an asshole, but it's like, I can't get
it
out of my head. And
it's making you want to, now you're doubling down.
Yeah.
You're tripling down.
And I have to let it go.
You want, I don't think you do.
I think
you
I find, do.
I think at the next Academy Awards, you, you when you're presenting, you go, I haven't seen any of these films yet. When you're about to give the nominees, you go, but I can't wait to judge you.
It's also not even funny. And I think about those kids going back to the home saying, Mom, Dad, he said he couldn't wait to judge you. And I'm like, it just keeps me up at night.
Like we just said with the social media, the quick moment.
Yeah.
They now
that's my narrative.
They're like, Tony Hale is just a big Celsius guy. Couldn't stop downing him in front of us.
It's good.
Do you want another? There's one more in there.
I'm okay. No, I'm okay. Because I think it has caffeine, right?
It does, yeah.
Yeah, because then I won't sleep. Because if I drink NyQuil, okay,
Plan I'll take B. It.
That
was good. Cut. Tony, we can do one more.
Sure. If I go too late with caffeine, then I can't sleep.
What's your caffeine cutoff?
It should probably be like about 12 or 1
p.m.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
See, I'll definitely get an iced coffee at 6.
Really?
Like I got 3 shows tonight.
You have 3 shows.
Yeah.
And where do you go tonight?
One of them is a place called El Cid over in, I think, the Silver Lake area.
Okay.
And then the Comedy Store at 9:30 and the Laugh Factory. The show starts at 10. Mm-hmm. I'll probably go on between 10:30 and 11:30.
Okay.
But I live right around the corner, so that's what I love about this area.
And so do you have a ton of material to try out tonight?
Oh, yeah.
You do?
Probably. So each spot will probably be about 15 minutes.
I mean, if you want to use the judge comment, you can. I mean,
I didn't want to ask.
You're welcome. You're welcome because it's going to go.
Wow. So just before I say, just get up there. Don't even grab the mic yet. Just survey the crowd and just go. Feels like a very Andrew Dice Clay thing, right?
It does, yeah.
Can't wait to judge you.
Or just go, God, I can't wait to judge you.
There it is. Okay.
We'll see.
I will do it and tape it for you if you want to see. And if it works, then I think that'll be, you know that you got to do it again. But you just need the right audience.
Yeah.
People coming for comedy. These other places you've done it, mm-hmm. maybe they weren't expecting comedy.
Do you have, do you mind, I got many questions for you.
Oh, man.
Do you mind, if you don't mind me asking?
No, please. We're still recording, right?
I do have
audio too. Good.
You're wanting him to go, no, it's done.
No. That's my little callback.
This is an arranged situation where you've already set it up that he goes, no,
it's
sorry,
fake
it's
set
done.
Behind you.
Yeah. But do you have set bits that you know work that you always come up to a set with and then you kind of mix it with new stuff?
Yes. And okay. I've heard comics that are like, on certain shows, I'm going to always bring it because of the crowd. Like, you know, a certain night, you know, Laugh Factory, Comedy Store, Saturday night, early show, packed. You just want to bring it because of whatever. Yeah. And it is one of the benefits of being out here where there's a lot of, I mean, should I've had, you know, VO agents or people bring people mm-hmm. to go see you. And mm-hmm. but it's not like, you know, versus like a 12 a.m. 40 people at the improv, you go, yeah, I'm gonna be a little more exploratory with what I'm talking about. And even just nuggets of ideas, I'm gonna talk out and write on stage.
Do they still do the thing where you put your phone in a thing that they can't tape you?
No. Chappelle does that every time because he's can afford it and he's the best and he truly doesn't wanna be hindered by thinking that you can.
Yeah,
grab something, take it out of context. Yeah. I'm not at that level. I have had people take, but mostly people
I
take
thought
a little,
it was like a club thing. Like they
no. No. The Comedy Works in Denver, I think, does it now, and a few other clubs. But it costs money to do that every time. Like it's a service that like isn't cheap. So but
and
they should
taking
do it.
Away people's center.
Yeah.
Which is not fun.
Which is that puts you in a frozen place. That's socially crippling to be without your phone. Have you ever lost it? Like in a cab or an Uber?
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Freak out city, right?
Yeah, and it's getting worse, I think.
Yeah. I want to go back to your routine.
Sure.
You love the mornings. Do you have a, you know, I want a backyard very badly. Can I borrow yours?
Sure, please.
Is that part of your...
I won't talk to you in the morning, but please, come on over.
Yeah, we got that. Is that part of like why you love... Do you have a spot?
Mm-hmm.
You do, yeah.
I always go in the kitchen.
Cool.
And my...
you can see they got sunlight coming in, like a certain...
There's a window.
Break it down for me.
And my two little puppies... Walter and Francis sit there.
Awesome. What kind of dogs?
Havanese's. Havanese.
Love that.
Yeah. Because they don't shed, because I got a lot of allergies.
Hyperallergenic.
And I love you. Like, I learned that word over COVID.
By the way, didn't know what that word was until I got myself a hyperallergenic dog.
Oh, yeah.
My fiance was like, we should get...
I've got asthma and allergies, so it makes a big difference.
No.
Yeah.
You can get asthma as an adult?
I have. I had it since I was a kid.
Gotcha.
So in the morning... Sorry. I'll go on tangents, I apologize.
This is great.
So I get up, and I actually do this app called Pray As You Go.
Mm.
I'll show it to you. And it really, it just like, I promise I'm not, I'm doing my code. I'm not looking at my, it's called Praise You Go. It's like a G. Anyways. And it's something that you, it like.
A meditation app?
It's like a meditation app. And it kind of has like, for lack of a better word, worship music in the beginning. Cool. And then it kind of, asks questions and reads scripture and then just.
Gives you things to think about for the day.
Gives you things to think about. And it creates a bigger picture for the day is what I see.
Wow.
And I really enjoy it. And I make a smoothie. And okay. I just sit there. Okay, I'll break it down. I love it. And I do ice, protein powder,
okay.
Cherries, mm-hmm. coffee, and a little bit of almond milk and stevia.
Sounds fucking delicious.
So it's kind of like a chocolate cherry coffee smoothie.
I mean, that seems like the ultimate way to start the day.
And it was really good because I used to not be a coffee drinker, but man, it really... It makes
just a little bit of coffee.
I like a little bit of coffee. And that's really the only cup of coffee I have during the day.
Just one.
Mm-hmm.
So when you're shooting, like your Veep days, Sam would tell me sometimes were pretty long.
Richardson?
Yeah.
Yeah. They were pretty long, but.
No, Sam Neill from Jurassic Park 2.
Oh, Sam Neill.
He was on.
God,
and
I don't
he
remember
for some
show.
Reason, he knew the Veep schedule.
Weird.
And he.
All right.
I way to go along with it. Sammy Rich, yeah.
But Sammy Rich.
Yeah.
Rich Sam.
Rich Sam.
So yes. He,
Chris Pratt's best friend.
But this is what I appreciate about the show is I guess we had long hours, but I just loved everybody there that it was, if I was going to be away from home, I was so thankful to be with those people.
That's so awesome.
Cause that's not always the case, you know?
Fuck no.
Yeah.
Truly from the get go. Yeah. Like just.
Yeah,
it,
yeah.
I mean, like any show and experience, right? Like just a few.
But why I think it was because when we first did the show, we were shot in Baltimore.
Mm-hmm.
And we were all away from our families and you had to kind of be a found family. So we just
you
really.
Think that was strategic on the network's part or?
No, because the most of the writers were from the UK and I think it was kind of a midpoint where they could fly home and we could fly home.
Wow.
Yeah.
But that did kind of, you're almost like. Away from your fans, a little summer camp action.
Yeah, we'd like shoot, and then we'd go out for a drink and talk about the day, and I just loved it. Loved it.
So you wouldn't need
I love Baltimore. Do you do gigs in Baltimore
yeah.
a lot?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I love Baltimore.
You should
eat at Woodbury Kitchen. That's a really good place to eat.
Cool. I won't go there.
Wow, it's just because I said it?
Yeah. There's like you're like a half investor. I have a buddy who did that to me once. He was like, I'm a half investor on this like frozen yogurt place. And I went and I kind of like brought his name up and they're like, who? And I was like, wow, like what to be embarrassed at a frozen yogurt place when you're like, Ben told me you guys' business is booming. And they were like, who's Ben?
You mean Ben and Jerry's? Or what are you
Ben
talking
and Jerry's?
About?
They're our competition.
All right. I will say that this restaurant is farm. It's kind of like a farm to table. It's in like a firehouse.
I do love
anything.
That.
I'm telling you, I'm a sucker for like some warehouse farm to table.
Totally.
I love I'm a sucker for environment. The food is good at Westbrook Woodbury Kitchen, but the food could be kind of crap. But it's a great environment. And I'm like, I love it.
Cool. So that type of a crowd, you said like big crowds, but like 8 to 10 dinner, drinks, whatever. That's your
sweet
spot. 8 to 10
is a lot. I like a good 4 to 5.
Yeah. Well, also, everyone's involved all the time. 8 to 10, you got two different conversations.
I also like
going
a
on.
Circular table where you're kind of everybody's kind of in the same conversation.
Yeah.
Because if you're not at a circular table, then you got to separate all the conversations.
Didn't you do one of those for the boy? There was some sort of a
dinner with friends.
Yes.
I didn't do that.
No, not that. There was a Variety did these things with actors.
Oh yeah, yeah, round table.
Yes.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
Yeah,
I did.
Man.
Yes. Yes.
That to me is like I don't know, man. I know winning an Oscar was probably dope. And I'd like to hear about.
By the way, what are you talking about?
I Toy
didn't
Story.
Win an Oscar. Oh no, I didn't win it. But that's very kind of me to think. Pixar won it.
Yeah, but you're a part of.
I was a part of it. You're right. I was a part of it. But
you
they
were.
Won the Oscar.
You did. Okay. I think you.
But to your point of the round tables, I appreciated it because I really liked what they do with those things.
Me too.
Because you just to kind of.
Who was your group again?
I did it a couple times. I did awesome. It with
I've just seen the one.
I
can find it.
Jesse Lee Ferguson.
Yep, from
Modern Family. And I think who else is on that?
I gotcha. Variety Roundtable.
Aziz? I did one.
Jeffrey, no.
I don't know if Aziz was in there. Oh, yeah.
Matt LeBlanc, Andy Samberg.
Yeah, I did. I did one with Jeffrey, and I did one with Keegan.
Yeah.
Rob Lowe, I did one with.
Wow.
I think it was like, they were all kind of the same part. But just to kind of, many times you don't want to say anything. You just kind of want to sit and.
You want to listen.
And listen, you know, because like, I mean, I've heard Rob's book is great.
Yeah.
And I haven't read it, but I mean, talk about stories, just be like, I'll never forget when I worked with Liza Minnelli on Arrested Development. Mm. And it was like, she took my wife and I out to lunch once and I didn't want to speak. She just told stories, and we just want to listen to her stories. I mean,
and
her
crazy. Enjoyed telling the story.
Yeah, like, yeah, and they never cool. came from a place of ego. They just came from a place of like, listen to like what I've been
wanna
through.
Want to hear some cool shit?
Yeah.
I love that, by the way.
Yes.
I just heard in some podcast about some gal that works with all these big athletes and in her like 60s, 70s, and somebody was like giving her a hard time for name dropping. And she's like, I'm not name dropping. I know these people really yeah. well, and this is my life. And I'm like, fuck yeah.
Yeah. Even if you don't know the people, if you've had an experience.
Yeah. And it's cool and you want to share it.
Yeah.
Who doesn't want to hear that?
Exactly. Everybody does want to hear it. But yeah. whoever's saying that is probably just wanting to stir the pot a little bit.
Yes. I saw a picture on your Instagram of, it was Toy Story Press. It was you, Annie Potts, Tom Hanks, Tim Allen
yeah.
doing press. That was a fucking heavy hitters.
That was heavy
couple
hitters.
Couple rows of superstars. What was that day like? And did you, same thing, were like, is Hanks leading the charge and making jokes and you're following his lead or?
He was very, it was, I would say Hanks and Tim, cool. you know, because they were the OG yeah. of, you know, Toy Story.
Yeah.
You know, Buzz and Woody. And so we just, I mean, if I'm honest, there was many moments I'm like, gosh, which one of these is not like the other? Like, why am I here? Oh, yes. You know, so it was just many times. I remember one time I think it was that day and everybody had to go to the bathroom. And they take us behind the scenes to go to the bathroom. And it's like me, Keanu, Tom Hanks, and somebody else. And we're just walking past these people behind the scenes going to the bathroom. And I'm like, what the hell? Like, what's happening right now?
Because,
I mean, I was no one, but it was like, they're just like, okay, hey, Keanu Reeves, like, hey, Tom Hanks, just like walking by my desk. You know, it's just, that's always fun to watch. It's fun to watch other people's reaction to like seeing that kind of stuff.
Have you done things like that? Like if you're at you're driving along and somebody pulls up alongside and recognizes you, do you wave? Do you roll in the window and scream at them just to give them a moment or something? Or
no, it doesn't happen to me. That doesn't happen to me a lot.
Getting recognized?
Mm-mm. It doesn't.
Because you're not in big crowds.
Yeah, I don't like big crowds. But also I don't, my shows, Arrested, and they're kind of niche shows a little bit. I mean, they were popular, but I guess what I'm saying is if I go to a Walmart in Alabama,
gotcha.
You're not, it's not going to happen.
But yeah, but first of all, but don't do that. But
yeah, but if I go to a Mac store in like Glendale, maybe I'll be recognized. Yeah.
After I've put my headshot on all the desktop screensavers, there's a chance.
And let me tell you right now, there's nothing wrong with that.
I knew a comic that did that actually once. He pulled up his website on all the Macs and then took a video of it. And he was a real New East Coast guy. He's like, you got to promote yourself.
Was he serious?
Yeah.
Oh, bless his heart, man. Yeah, good for him.
It was great.
It's a hustle.
It is. It is a hustle. Do you find yourself giving advice to how many people are hitting you up?
I do really, really love
you do.
Talk. I mean, if I'm asked, I've gotten to a place where I try not to give advice unless I'm asked, because many times if I hear something, I'm like, you feel compelled to be like, oh, but it's like, unless they ask, I don't want to give advice. But if they ask, I love talking to kind of students, kind of in that arena where they're about to go in the business. And I mainly talk about the psychology of it all. I don't really talk about, like, for instance, I love talking about fame and how I think people look at fame as the ultimate being known. You know, how many followers do you have? How many people know your name? All that kind of stuff. But if you look at someone who's hugely famous, right? If you look at someone like that, and then you look at someone who, I don't know, works in a mall in Alabama, anything that's said to that person at the mall, anything that's given to them, anything that's encouraged them, there's no strings attached. They can receive that freely. The person who's hugely, quote, famous or known, anything said to them, given to them, they wonder if it's transactional. They wonder if there's strings attached. So I say that person in the mall is more known than the huge star. And it's just the opposite of what everybody thinks it is. Mm. Because if you're known by people who are close to you and who love you, that's all the known you need. Because that's when it gets more, it becomes, it can get really isolating. Anyways, that's I love talking about that stuff.
Is that one of the, that's got to be one of the first questions people that you speak to ask, right? Like, what's it like?
Well, I think this is why I like talking about it, especially to students about it, because it's, I remember when I was that age and like, I wouldn't admit it, but it's about, you know, you, the attention and all that kind of stuff, and you glamorize it. And I like kind of discussing that with them before they get into it, because it just kind of reframes.
Why you're doing it, right?
Why you're doing it. And also giving yourself grace. Like, of course you're going to be interested, and it's kind of, it has that kind of Hollywood sparkle on it.
Sure.
But just to be honest and talk about it and really look at it for what it actually is. I love that discussion because it can get you, I think, more to that question of, okay, why am I doing, am I just wanting to go back to my high school and tell them to fuck off because of what I've made? Yeah. Or am I wanting to really dig into this career, which, by the way, is made up mostly of rejection? Like, you're signing up for a career of rejection.
Crazy. When it's broken down like that, I don't know if I had enough people around me that kind of said that to me. Like, you know, it's probably people that were so far removed from it that felt like they wanted to, you know, good luck. That's a tough, tough industry. They would say that, but it wouldn't actually get specific with, like, you know, nobody pulled me aside to be like, you know, it's a lot of no's, or it's going to be 10 years of fuck off before, come on in.
And I say with that, I say, hey, if you want to dive in, beautiful, get yourself a support system.
Totally.
Because
any
part of this, because my community in New York, if I didn't have that community who saw me for, because you'd walk in a room, you know, you walk in a room and you see 50 guys who look and act exactly like you.
Yeah.
And you're like, why am I here? But if you go back and fall back in that community that sees you for who you are, knows you, believes, and you can you can go out and have a drink with and really see you, that's what's going to give you longevity, because that's what you can fall back on.
Yeah.
I always tell people to invest in their community before they invest in their career. Because that's a huge step for me.
I think that's the Celsius slogan, by the way.
That's a Celsius slogan.
I love that. Very poignant and very true, because I mean, I'll just relate it to stand-up, having people that are coming up in that grind with you that you can the support system that you can complain to and that just can understand what you're going through.
Yeah.
And again, but that translates to, I think, any world. Will you give the best man speech at my wedding?
Sure. Great. Also, this makes me think,
by the way, real quick, Tony, that would be so fucking, like, can you imagine? By the way, the invite extended. We'll see.
I love weddings.
I know. And I thought, dude.
Because it's a place of joy. Like, it's like, there's a DJ, there's.
Hey, man, I will gladly kick off a high school friend. Dude, I'm fucking serious. And I feel like we're having a good time today and good vibes are rolling. We're doing some cool things. I set up a little casino night post party in one of the ballrooms.
Ooh, are you really going to do that?
Band. I was like, videographer? I was like, band's got a. I went to a buddy of mine's and they had a big band and it was all, the brass section. Fucking, my mom loves Sinatra. I was like, I want to get a couple of those in four.
My buddy
at the end with the full band loves SNL. And we always, joke about the closing and stuff.
Yeah.
And he had them play the closing and he got up on the mic and did the whole thank you. Oh. And we all got up on the stage.
Oh, that's
and
nice.
And I'm just crying laughing because it was so funny because it was like, it sounded so
good.
But
also, what a moment. Yeah, what a memory. Cool. And that's the thing. You're still telling that story.
Yes. But if you came out of nowhere to give a speech completely, I mean, completely fabricated and made up. Oh my God, dude. Anyway. We're not going to do that. But
people be like, what a moron.
Hilarious.
Also,
no, they'd all freak out and be like, this is fucking incredible. But it also would be great if everybody did.
I promise you, half
it.
Of them would be like, A, I've never seen him.
Not
and
true.
I don't know who he
get
is.
Get the fuck out of here. Do you get recognized for the Mysterious Benedict Society, right?
Not so much because we just haven't been out. So it's like, but. Sometimes.
This came out in June.
Out in June, yeah.
Great show.
Thank you. I get to play twins.
Yeah, man.
That was
one of my questions in there. Also, you get to play a narcolept.
I get to play a guy with narcolepsy.
Playing twins is, to me, you know, Galifianakis did it. Who else? Eddie Murphy, I guess, just playing two different guys in Bowfinger.
Yeah. So did Mark Ruffalo. And,
Cool. Was that like one of the, what
it
drew
was
you
cool.
to it?
Well, a couple things. To play twins, that was exciting. daunting. And then
jaunting.
Jaunting. That was really Jaunte's peak. But then I will say the show, the book, once I read the book, it talks a lot about the noise in society and kind of finding the truth to break the noise.
Yep.
And pandemic was going on. It just felt a little bit like a little more purposeful to me. So I felt it was really, I was really excited to do it.
It's got like an Ocean's, like a little bit of heistiness with it. And mm-hmm. then you're almost like a Willy Wonka type guy, yeah. the way you're, but then you have these orphan
wig.
Great wig, real beard, right?
Real beard.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Are you one of those method guys where you're like, I got to grow the hair to feel it?
I can't grow the hair.
Up top.
I
right.
can't grow it. I mean, but I can't beard. Grow that hair. I can grow this.
Yeah.
This, you know, it's stringy a little bit by now.
Did you get to pick the wig?
Yeah. Well, I got to give an idea as to what I kind of, because he has a little bit of a mad scientist-y
totally.
Kind of vibe.
It was very appropriate.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, because
that's also Jayla was her name, who was the hairstylist, and she was great.
I think it's J-Lo, but we'll double check.
Oh, it's J-Lo. You're right. You're absolutely right. J-Lo was doing my hair for, gosh, about 5 months, and she didn't mind.
She needed the work. She wanted
the
work.
She did. I mean, it was her. It was an acts of service. It was her tithe. It was hilarious. Her service work.
Was it cool work? Those kids were incredible.
I wanted to say, was it cool work, J-Lo? They were great. And huge props to those kids
yeah.
because not only were they signing up to, you know, a pretty big show,
yep.
they had to leave their families because we couldn't come home for 5 months.
You shot this like what? Very early pandemic?
Right in the pandemic. We couldn't, once we got out there, we couldn't fly back.
Holy shit.
And my
shit.
Wife and my daughter were here. Thank God for FaceTime.
Wait, for how long you were
for
apart?
For 5.5 months. And so,
dude.
Yeah. So they all left their family. I mean, they had a parent with them, obviously. But they had to leave their communities, yeah. And they had to have school half the time. And we all had to be wearing masks. And so it was that was a really unique situation for them. So I'm really proud of them.
Rock stars.
Yeah, really are. And actually, what's weird, you'll appreciate this because you've been on sets, but it's like when I got there last August, all the crew obviously are in masks. I didn't see anybody's face for 5.5 months. I didn't know what people, if I'd seen these people in the grocery store without masks, I wouldn't know who they were. And I just worked with them for 5.5 months. So they gave me a book at the end of it with a picture of their face with a mask and a picture of their face without the mask, just so I could see what they look like.
I love that.
Isn't that nice?
That also is such a fun part of the whole being on set and shooting stuff is getting chummy, especially, I mean, you can attest for that multiple times, but like. Yeah.
And Kristen Schaal's on the show with me.
So
and
good.
Thank God. We had a little pod on Saturdays. They showed a lot of grace to me because I was by myself. And so I spent Christmas with them and Thanksgiving and all that kind of stuff. With
wow.
Them.
Yeah. So FaceTime like every, yeah, thank God.
Twice
for
a day with my wife and my daughter. I'm super thankful for that.
But you had your morning still to yourself. So that had
I mean,
to be
come awesome. On. I didn't have to worry about them waking up. And if they did call me, just delete.
New Folger slogan. The best part of waking up is my wife and daughter still being asleep.
Like, that's going to be
Folgers,
a winner.
That's a little dark. Jesus.
No.
Didn't even have a jingle behind it. Just a guy saying it.
It's so wild to hear your voice because I watched that Johnny Hawkstorm episode with editing so much that it's like it's hard to separate it.
Were you were involved? I mean, first of all, it was awesome to have you in sessions.
Oh, yeah. That was fun.
Extra treat. And again, I can't push the show enough.
Yeah, it's really fun to do.
Awesome, dude.
You know, the basis of it is this book that I did about this
yes,
little chicken who's
yes.
always looking to his next big thing and missing where he is.
Yes.
And so that, look at our business. What do we always ask? What's next for you? What's next for you? What's next
What do
for
people
you?
Ask of you right after you do it?
Yeah, what's next?
And with that in mind, Tony, what are you working on that's coming
up? Oh, my God,
up,
we were just talking about contentment, and I'm like, why are you asking me what's
because
next?
Because this is the business, and you – why – have you always been that aware and appreciative of, I don't know, instilling messages, themes like that in your work and in life? Because that is like – I try to be active with that one all the time. And I think it's – whether you're in this business or not, yeah, we all are guilty of just – too much of that and not looking in the rearview mirror, I guess, a little bit more.
But I think concerning like, have always been that way. I have been the guy, it's hard to forget we're spinning on a planet. Like it's hard to forget that, oh, I'm on my way to Trader Joe's getting groceries, but we're spinning on a planet and we're all going to die. You know, it's
fuck.
Like, but that's where it's hard not to go there.
I know.
And so I like having spiritual conversations, and because I think we just kind of pretend like this is normal. That's crazy.
I know.
You know, so it's, I enjoy those conversations a lot.
I do want to know, do you have, do you make goals?
I wrote that
down and I was curious. Because again, for someone so successful, I'm like, there's got to be
a kind
vision board. Well, I'm just, no, not you. I'm saying for someone.
Oh, that's successful. Very,
yeah.
Oh, okay. Oh, great. I can speak into that.
Joking, obviously.
I don't. And I'll tell you why. Hey, that's not something that comes naturally to me. But there's no prediction.
Thank you.
In this career.
So flimsy.
There's no ladder. And so to say, it sets me up for, we're already putting ourselves out there all the time and stuff. That is such a risk. So why am I going to say in this 5 years I want to do this? Because for me, this other people works great. It's just another thing of like, oh, I don't match up to what I think, you know, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah. Like when you're during the whole Archibald process, mm-hmm. like let's say you're for the day, like for a session, like when I'm coming in to record, are you like, this is what I want to get out of it? Or are you just like, I'm prepped. I know what the scenes are. I know the characters. I know what I think what I want. But are you kind of going in a little open? Like, well, let's see what Adam brings and then we'll.
Oh, well, to go back to the other thing, because while you're talking, I was listening. But I remembered something else that I reason why Please. I don't do goals is because when I was living in New York, I think I was always looking so far in the head. I was like, well, this is shitty now, but that thing's coming.
Wow.
And then when I got Arrested Development, it didn't satisfy me the way I thought it was going to satisfy me because I gave it too much weight. And nothing, if you're not practicing contentment where you are, you're not going to be content when you get what you want. And so I don't think I was very present for most of my life, you know? So it's like, so I think that woke me up to like, my default is to look ahead. My default is to check out. The work is like to be here. Like my big thing is talking to Adam right now. That's where I am right now. Mm. So that's where the work is for me.
Wow.
Does that make sense?
Yes.
Yeah.
That's right. You were in New York, got arrested, came out here, right? From auditioning there. And then you were just so headstrong on like, when I go to LA.
That was like my dream. That was like a sitcom. Carol Burnett show. I watched that. The Bob Newhart show. I was like, this is happening. And it was a great show, great cast. But I had given it so much weight that it's like nothing can match that. And so then I was like, why am I still feeling sad today? Why am I disappointed? Why am I, this shouldn't be happening. And it's like, cause it's human. And I never was present. Mm-hmm. You know, I gave it such an unnatural weight.
Instead of enjoying the joys daily, you were like, I'll get that big joy that'll make, and I'll just. It'll cover all this.
Yeah. And that's just not, but I think we do it subconsciously, you know? And I was very much doing that.
What are you working on next? What's coming? I'm sorry.
I love it.
Sorry.
No, that's a bit that will work all the time. It really will. My judgment won't.
But. Who's the best at that, you think? Is it like a Ryan and Kelly? Who's of those? You're always very generous and funny. And even I can see on some of them when people are not that they don't, that they're not interested, but when you're just like, man, they're just, the questions are a little to like, hey man, do you mind just driving the ship today? You know what I'm saying? When you recognize, do you pick up on that pretty early? And are you like, all good, you guys are probably tired or whatever, I'll give you a bigger answer.
Meaning that you can tell they're not into
it. Like Kelly Ripa was like, so Tony, you wore a wig on this Disney show. That was, so what, and you, but, so how many wigs? Did you?
Oh, so you feel like, which she wasn't, she was, they're great.
They're great, but I'm saying like, if she was like that. And
if
you're
she
like,
was like that. Or
first
any
question
of
and you're like, oh man, all right, I'm going to have to just carry this. Do you go to fight or flight or do you just go, you know
I
what?
Would say it's, sometimes I have gone to fight or flight. I think you can, it doesn't happen a lot, but if you can tell if somebody might be tired. And I mean, they do it every night.
Yeah.
They do it every night. And so, or they might have been a little bit shaken by the guests before, or I don't know what it was. It actually is helpful to me to drive this pretty much like you with stand-up. I don't mind driving it because I've got my stories.
Right.
And so I'll just tell those and it's kind of helpful actually if they are.
Hey guys, Adam Ray here for the About Last Night podcast. Hope you're enjoying this episode. Obviously, it's a very difficult time for everyone right now. We're all challenged in finding a day-to-day routine that makes our lives consistent and awesome. And if there's something that's interfering with your happiness right now or preventing you from achieving your goals, BetterHelp Online Counseling is there for you. BetterHelp is a professional counseling service online, private, and it's so convenient. I've used it for a little bit now. It's truly the only way that I've found to help get my own issues dealt with on my own time, at my own pace. You can schedule secure video or phone sessions, plus chat and text with your licensed professional counselor right now. They're specialized in depression, anger, stress, anxiety, family conflicts, LGBT matters, grief or relationships, sleeping, which I have a lot of trouble with, trauma, self-esteem. Anything that you share with them is confidential. And guess what? If you're not happy with your counselor for any reason, at any time, you can request a new one for no additional charge. There's 3,000 U.S. licensed therapists across all 50 states available worldwide. And again, there's four ways to communicate with them: text, chat, phone, and video. You can start communicating in under 24 hours. It's available on any desktop, mobile web, Android, and iOS apps. Schedule a video or phone session, generally weekly, unless your therapist schedules more. Unless you just are really not sleeping and need to get some additional chats in. There's broad expertise in the network, which may not be locally available in many areas. Financial aid is available for those who qualify. It's secure, it's convenient, it's professional, and above all, it's affordable. All right. It's truly the most affordable option I've found. So right now, all ALN listeners are going to get 10% off your first month with a discount code AboutLastNight. So why not get started today and start making some changes for the better in your life? You deserve it. So go to BetterHelp.com/AboutLastNight. Simply fill out a questionnaire to help them assess your needs and get matched with a counselor that you'll love. That's BetterHelp.com/AboutLastNight. BetterHelp.com/AboutLastNight. And get 10% off your first month with promo code AboutLastNight. And now, back to the episode.
I want to do a 10 question inside the actor studio.
I love it. I love this stuff so much.
James Lipton, RIP.
He did pass. Yeah. Oh, he wasn't arrested. No,
right. But did you go? I don't know.
Oh, no. The cast of Arrested did, and I couldn't.
Gotcha. Oh, yeah. Wow. Yeah. Bummed.
A little bit. Yeah, because that was kind of a. I remember I was doing Veep at the time, and I couldn't go over. Yeah.
Well, great. More reason for us to do it now. Closing out with Lipton's 10 question questionnaire.
Oh, is this the actual questionnaire?
Yeah.
Oh, I just got great. It's exciting. I can't even remember it actually, but this is exciting.
It's awesome.
Okay, great.
Welcome back to the show.
Where's your blue cards?
Fuck you, Tony. right out of the gate. By the way, if that were the real, very funny. Where's your blue cards? You're right.
That's right. Oh, there you go. Well, that's very appropriate to the time.
It's coming.
Okay.
You're like, what? Tony Hale, what's your favorite word?
It's not cuss word.
It can be anything.
It can be anything.
Yeah.
What's my favorite word?
Curse word's like five down. This is favorite word.
My favorite word would be, I think I like the word peace. It brings me, when I hear it, it's soothing.
It is. It's a great answer. Mm-hmm. Matthew McConaughey said tampon. What is your...
Did he really?
No, but he did. What did he say? I interviewed him for this podcast I was doing with Chuck Liddell, UFC fighter, and pulled this up at the end. He had his answers were... Well, I'll tell you after.
Was he trying to be funny or was he serious?
On a couple. Uh-huh. Actually, no, it always serious.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But in one, when we got to the favorite curse word, just that charm went into overdrive.
Mm-hmm.
Tony, what is your least favorite word?
Oh God, it's really good. What's my least favorite word is the word cringy because it's like in my daughter. I love my daughter, but I think in that she's 15, the teenage they say that a lot, like oh that's cringy or that's cringy, and
that's what she's saying to describe a lot of
that's cringy, and it's like first of all, where did that word come from? I mean, I've heard cringe, but. Anyways, yeah.
Is cringy almost like the equivalent for a kid, like if a dad, like if you were to throw back at her, like, well, I'm disappointed in you. Or you're being a bummer. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That carries a lot of weight more so than you would think.
Yeah.
My nieces are 12 and they're
They've probably heard that word.
First day of seventh grade was today. And I am just, you know, very nervous.
Oh,
but
no.
What, 15, does it, I mean, they're young women now on all fronts.
Yeah.
Is, it does it, do they, did your daughter like grab on to like 12, 13, 14, 15, or was it like, do they all feel like similar years, or were you like, wow, each year brought its own?
It brought its own challenges. But one thing I just love about this age and my daughter is they just jump in. She is, when like there's a party or friends or something, that moment is like it. You know, she's nowhere else but that moment.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh.
It's awesome.
It's awesome. It's awesome.
She's real present.
Really, really present.
Well, she's probably, you know, I mean, takes after you, but probably sees how you're doing
well,
it.
I think I talk about it a lot because it's a struggle for me. So, but she is like, she's all in.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Tony, what turns you on? It can be anything.
I would say empathy.
What turns you off?
God, I totally forgot about these questions. That's really, really exciting. What turns me off?
It could be anything, like a long hug or John Stamos's eyes.
Well, you hit it. I would say what turns me off? Just unjustified unkindness.
Yeah. Yeah. Nailed it. What is your favorite curse word?
Fuck.
No, this was the question to McConaughey.
Maybe it was shit. It might be shit. I say shit probably more than I say fuck.
Sometimes a good shit, fuck, right after after the other.
Yeah.
Was there ever a character you played that had a curse word that was pretty, that you remember like was always your thing or that kind
of? Well, what I loved about Buster is he would go on these cussing tirades where just that came out of nowhere.
Yes.
And I'll never forget when we started, Mitch, the creator, said, okay, I want you just to like go on a 2-minute cussing tirade. And I remember thinking, I don't know that. I don't know that many. And the scene was with Jason, and I would say a cuss word, and then I would say the alphabet, and then I would say another cuss word, and I would say the alphabet because they were going to beep it. And so that's what I'm doing. I'm like going, shit, ABC. And I'm just like screaming letters.
Brilliant.
And then say another cuss word.
Brilliant.
Because some people can just like, it just flows off them. I know a few good ones that I say all the time, but I just don't have that many.
Then you're also like combining them. Then you're like, you get into this, like I remember the first time I saw my folks split, I saw my mom kiss another guy outside of the window.
Oh, that's hard.
I remember calling him, I think, a boner AIDS tits.
Yeah.
And because I was like, these are the bad words I know. Or bitch, boner, titty. It was some combo of like, you shitty fuck boob or something.
How old were you?
It's a couple weeks ago. No. Was when I was 10, I think.
Oh, so that was
9
like
or 10.
Really jarring.
First time I saw it, and I remember screaming out the window, by the way, just Pop-Tart in hand, like just probably dribbling the crumbs up. Like,
sure.
But I remember him so vividly being like, all the bubbling emotions, don't know how to,
of course.
Don't know where to send them. And again, jaunting, daunting. I'm seeing
Pop-Tart, you frosted fuck, you know? Like, and the frosted Pop-Tarts were the best.
Yeah, and frosted fucks were not to be mistaken. Those were the dollar store frosted flakes. Yeah, we got it. Shout out to our sponsors, Frosted Fucks. What sound or noise do you love?
When my wife and my daughter are genuinely like laughing, like there's like a guttural laugh, because you know when you kind of hear a polite laugh, it's like but when you hear a real guttural laugh, it is like so joy giving.
It's one of the it's an indescribable joy that. And unfortunately, like I was, it's funny you bring this up. I was trying to think recently of like the last time I was crying laughing.
Hmm.
And I was like, man, I can think of a time, but it was like probably 10 years ago. And I'm sure maybe it's happened in between there, but it made me go, man, I'm around comedy every night, but like those times when you truly are just so locked in on something.
Oh my gosh.
You know, I wish, you know, we've had a couple almost of those today, you know, and it's,
No, I don't know, actually.
I mean, we've had quite a few.
You can run the tape and see. I don't think so.
That's a great answer. What sound or noise do you hate?
I would say when people are unaware of their environment, like just not taking into consideration those, like for someone like talking on their cell phone too loud, just when they're so in their world that they're completely unaware. So that's, I guess that covers a lot of things,
yep.
You know,
or even like listening to something loud.
Listening to something loud or just like being loud. And just the thing is, being loud is not bad, but when you're not even taking into consideration those around you.
Other people are in the space. Yeah, for sure. What profession other than your own would you like to attempt?
Oh, gracious. Would I like to attempt?
Mm-hmm.
I love ministry.
Whoa.
Cool. My relationship with God is, I love talking about it. I love studying it. Cool. It's very intimate, and I enjoy speaking to people's lives, but like having that empathy for other people's journey. I enjoy that.
That's awesome. You haven't played one on anything, have you?
No.
Yeah. Would you want to?
It's weird though. I don't know if you can relate to this. It's like when something is so close to you, it's tougher because there's a part of you, you have a standard.
Oh yeah.
And I think it's actually like, it's almost like some of the most uncomfortable things for me are being on talk shows because I'm myself. And that's sometimes the hardest act to have.
Yes.
That's why I have such admiration for stand-up, because you are not playing anything. You're yourself.
Right. This can be part of the best man speech, by the way.
Oh, great. Okay, yeah. Good.
We'll just actually take this and send you a copy of it. We'll get him all a right. We won't great. Get him a copy of it. Okay.
Great.
I 1,000% relate to that. but you would crush that.
Yeah.
No, you would crush playing a minister.
Oh. Yeah. I guess it depends on the script, but yeah.
Yeah. Script is first and key, right, for everything?
Key. If it's not on the page, it's not.
Can you tell right away?
Yes.
Almost like in a phone call with a new friend? If they're going to stay a long friend?
Yeah. I think because you resonate with, I think, for me, and whether there's an authenticity there.
Cool.
Yeah. I haven't found it today, so.
No. No.
No.
No.
That's all right. I mean, it's okay. Okay. Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't.
By the way, I just have to say real quick, I rewatched. It came up in a, I sometimes go on these when I'm on the road and I'm just late and I can't go to sleep. Like I was saying, the TikTok eating videos, YouTube, like Robin Williams talk show appearances, or I went on one that was a award show presenter things. Mm. And was it the Emmys or the Oscars with you and Julia?
Oh, Emmys. Yeah.
That's one of the funniest.
Oh my gosh.
Moments in award show history.
It was crazy. Well, she called me that morning. For those listeners that don't know what we're talking about.
Break it down.
Let me break it down. She called me that morning and she said, hey, because my character on Veep carried her bag, her purse. And so she said, if I win tonight, I would like for you to come up and carry my purse.
Oh, my God.
And I just remember.
Were you so pumped?
Well, no, because I remember thinking, you are going to win probably. And so this is live TV. Like, what? Holy, I'm going to look like that douchebag that runs up and, you know. But it was really one of those. This is where I did feel like I was close to stand up. What you guys go through, because I'll never forget when they called her name and she walked up and I saw her turn to me and it was like, I can't back off. I have.
Oh, so you still were kind of like, maybe she will just.
No, I knew she
on.
Was going to do it, okay. But I was like, there's no. She's relying on me. So then I had to run up and grab a purse. And you're like, all right, here we go. You know, and so you.
By the way,
had
people were
it.
Laughing as you walked up.
But there were also people that were like. What the hell is happening? And as a person who's slightly, if not very codependent, I'm like, oh God, I'm worried about what those people are thinking.
No, it was brilliant. And yeah. I mean, dude, and you like getting in her ear, right? You
yeah,
were like.
Yeah, to remind her to thank her family.
That wasn't.
So, it was. Well, that's one thing she said. She said, we kind of came up with like, maybe you can remind me to do this. And I was like, and then we just forgot about it. And I was like,
That was brilliant. Cause yeah, she does. She was going down like, she goes, yeah, like the
producers, the writers.
And then she goes, and her beat before, that's right. My husband, or my family. Yeah. Or I think she just said my family, but it was family, like that got a huge laugh.
Yeah, it did.
It feel good? Like when
it
you guys
did.
Walked off,
it
you
did.
Were like.
Because there are, as you know, there are, when it doesn't work, you're like.
Yep.
I remember her and I did another thing for this other thing that just, it was like a private ceremony or something. And it just didn't work. And we both walked off and gone, that wasn't very good. But that was, it was nice to be able to go, okay, I think that worked.
And to walk off and she won, like that's celebratory.
Yeah, it was a good night.
What profession would you not like to do? Would you not like to do?
I would say, would I not like to do? I think it's funny because I said ministry for what I did, yeah. But I don't know if I could be a therapist to just, because therapists, what I appreciate about them is they, I don't know. I think I maybe could do that. I know what I could. I work with this organization called IJM that works with, they fight human trafficking. Mm. And there are people that go out internationally to find these people trapped in trafficking and then pull them out. I could not do that.
No.
Like I could, I love to support them. I love to be a voice for them. But
could be in the trenches.
I couldn't do it because I would, I think that is such a gifting to be able to compartmentalize and separate. And it's such a gift. And I think it would, I don't know if I could do that.
Yeah. I don't, I mean, and therapist, I feel like is similar to that. Where you're, I mean, to compartmentalize and take on other people's stuff and then to not bring it home or keep thinking about it.
But I mean, ministry, you do kind of, but about their journey with God. I enjoy talking. I don't know. Maybe I could be a therapist, but I definitely know of like a missionary or like a social worker that does the traffic. I could not do
couldn't
that.
Couldn't do it.
No.
Finally, Tony Hale, if heaven exists, what would you like to hear God say when you arrive at the pearly gates?
I just look forward to that hug with God and then him saying, well done. Nice. I think that's the thing, yeah.
Nice. What if you went, I can't wait to judge you.
I can't wait to judge you. Damn, that was a good button, Adam.
Thank you.
You really, that was a good full circle moment. It really was, actually.
Thank you.
That was a really good one.
This was a great day.
I know.
I hope you had a good time. What were you thinking about coming to this? Because you've done this once before in my old apartment with Brad Williams.
With Brad, yeah.
Yeah, so he's now, it's just me, and he's, that's not true. Brad, he's under the table. I can make that joke. He makes that joke.
No, I know, yeah.
No, he's on the road all the time, and a dad. He's a new dad.
Oh, he's
so
a new dad.
So he was like, I want to be, sweet. We did 500 eps, and he was like, wow. Almost 10 years, and he was like, man, I'm done.
I'm done, yeah.
I was like, all good.
Yeah. Coming here, I was looking forward to it.
Really?
Because we already have a friendship.
Yes.
And I do, I think the older I get, I enjoy the conversation over the, just the bits.
me too. You're, no joke, even getting to be chums with you, and this is, what I love about this too, is like the ability for it to like, I don't know, boost your, I just start crying. Your,
great. I'm a minister now, so perfect.
Your, I don't know, like, I feel like now if I texted you something that wasn't so, like, with, you know, like a week from now, mm-hmm. that it wouldn't be as weird as it maybe would have been prior to this. Does that make sense?
Totally. And yeah. I love, and also know if anything's ever going down, text me.
Yeah. Even messaging you after I saw,
Eat Wheaties. So sweet.
My fiance, we're just like fucking loved it. And again, she likes you a little too much. I wear a picture of you when we're in bed.
Great.
And she, okay. Yeah, no, I was like, I'm going to fucking hit him up right now. And you got back and I was like, so excited, but then also like, yeah, like why, but also just, you just don't know. Cause we didn't have a consistent dialogue like that.
But I also think in this business and life in general, I think independence is really praised. Like, they're independent. I think healthy dependence is not praised enough. Where we need each other. We need to be ears for each other. Mm. It's just, it's necessary.
Yeah.
You know, we're not meant to do this alone.
1,000%. Dude, look, the wedding thing is real. It's taped.
Yes.
I'm serious. You'll probably be filming something, some fucking movie or show.
No.
Hollywood staple.
Cut to 5 years of just not working and being like, that was the day I stopped working.
You're like, actually, can I take that best man job? And does it pay SAG-AFTRA?
This is the only party I've been to. The only free food I've had.
You're at Tony Hale on Twitter and Instagram?
Oh, Mr. Tony Hale.
Mr. Tony Hale, that's right.
Yeah.
The Miss Mystery.
And at Adam Ray Comedy.
Thank you so much. Archibald's next big thing is all over Peacock. Watch it. 9 days. We didn't even get into.
Oh, it's a beautiful movie.
Yeah. It's in the queue, but I've
I think it's going to be released on some point.
This will be out next week, so this will be a good push for it.
Because it was in theaters, it might still be in theaters, but then it'll go somewhere else.
But when it
comes in front of you, go, because it's a beautiful movie.
Crazy,
it's beautiful, beautiful.
And then Mysterious Benedict Society,
and also see Adam Ray wherever he comes to your town,
if you can make it,
why not?
We got to bring you out to a show sometime soon. Maybe
I'd love that. Actually,
you wouldn't come up on stage ever, would you?
If
to perform,
no,
to do a bit,
I'd do a bit.
Awesome.
Yeah, I told you a bit.
Really?
Yeah.
Awesome.
Ciao. I don't know how to close this. Maybe. Was that good of me to try to close it without you?
Ciao's perfect.